fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Dr. Dan Williamson and his wife, Lynn. We've been talking about their spiritual journey, but now kind of coming to their spiritual journey into the Catholic Church. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there at the site, and you can download them and onto whatever device you use, so you can listen to them at your convenience anytime. I encourage you to do it. The shows have been excellent this week. We're going to continue to pick up. Welcome back, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. And so here you are now. You've been led to do ministry in the inner city of Toledo, in the streets, in very rough neighborhoods, and reaching out to African-American and Hispanic youth, and tried to find a church because it was growing and it was getting cold outside and you needed a place to continue the ministry. And pretty much all the churches, for one reason or another, just didn't have room for you at the inn, I guess.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
So you end up meeting a priest, Father Marty Donnelly, who opens his place and the ministry can continue. But one of the things you mentioned I'd like to build on today, Dan and Lynn, is that you began to have regular conversations with Father Donnelly. And that was a key thing to helping you understand and come into the Catholic Church. So just talk about that a little bit, you guys, and see what, because I think our listeners would be interested in knowing more about it.
Well, when you lose all your friends that, you know, you've had for years, and people in authority let you down because you're no longer welcome, it just really rattles you. It just shakes you to the core. And Father Marty was a very gentle man. And we would have cups of coffee. He and I'd meet and have a cup of coffee. And he just began loving me like a father. And a lot of people wonder about the theology, but you know, the theology of the Nazarenes and the Catholics wasn't not that far off. Most denominations, if you look at their denominational distinctives, is only less than 1% that divides us. And when I had my shipwreck, literally everything died. I mean, it was like being crucified with Christ.
For those who didn't have a chance to listen, the shipwreck was you had basically got booted as a pastor from the Nazarene church because you told the superintendent, kind of the regional leader, that you had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and then you had received the gift of tongues. And that's forbidden in the church. And
yes.
So they gave you the boot. Kind of a long process, a very dramatic, drawn-out thing happened. But fundamentally, you got the boot and then everybody shunned you at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And so what actually happened at that time, I went out and got the first job I could get, which was a substitute teacher in a local school system there in Toledo. And I got an apartment. Basically, when you lose everything, what does it matter where you work? What does it matter where you live? You're starting over from scratch. And so that's when my focus became outward. You know, don't look at your situation. Don't focus on your hurts, but begin serving other people. And Father Marty gave us a place to serve. We were able to take those babies in there, and he was such a loving man. It really wasn't a theological problem with me. I had to wrestle with a few things because of concepts in my mind that were not true, that you had to believe this way or you had to believe that way. Lynn was going to Lord's College at the time, and I was going through RCIA and just coming in. This was now 2002. After I joined, one of her professors said, well, why didn't he come in as married clergy? And my answer to that was, I didn't know about married clergy. I'm just coming in here because this is where God told me to go, and the door was open to me. The one thing I've got to tell you is the Lord kept telling me, go home, go home, go home. I'm telling you, if he told me that one time, he told me it 100 times. Mm-hmm. So I always search for where my home is supposed to be. And at that time, it was at St. Martin de Porres with Father Donnelly. And I would tell you the one overriding aspect other than obedience, because I knew that that's what God wanted me to do, was that we were welcomed by a loving father. Father mm-hmm. Marty loved us into the kingdom. He took us through, both of us, he took us through annulments.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says, you know, you've been married outside the Catholic Church. We want you to be married inside the Catholic Church because you're going to be able to minister. You're going to be able to help people. And so he literally stitched our lives back together and, mm-hmm. and reordered our steps in the kingdom.
Everybody good shepherd. Said, good, that's a good shepherd.
He excellent shepherd. I cannot give him enough commendation. But yeah, people would say, well, why are you going through annulments? And why? My dad said, Catholic Church, why are you going to the Catholic Church? I said, that's where God wants me. He said, well, I hope you get them saved. And that's that mindset.
Yeah.
Funny.
So Lynn, you were part of these conversations with Father as well?
Yes.
What was your experience of that?
Well, before we started Church of the Streets, when Dan was seeking out a place that he could be and worship the Lord, intercessors had said, let's try St. Martin de Porres. And so he had met Marty before he even knew he met him, you know, at that time.
See,
so the Lord planted that seed. That I thought that was really neat. And so when this was going on with him, there was so much inner healing and deliverance that needed to take place that he went on a 3-year campaign to get his heart right, his head right, and be made whole so that he could continue to minister.
So you're referring to Dan because of all the hardship you've gone through,
right,
and losing everything as a result of getting booted out of that church. I mean, that's crushing.
Yes.
I mean, people you love, literally your wife, your neighbors, friends, your whole network of committed relationships just goes away.
Absolutely.
Gets blown up, and that they just don't even want to have anything to do with you anymore.
He was in a dry and weary land where there was no water, and he needed living water. And because we had Piercing Heart Ministry for Jesus, which was the intercessory arm of my father's house, Church of the Streets now, we three women would pray and fast for him every week. And then the Lord would show something that he was a quiet man and never spoke anything out. And so he would just be quiet, and one of the ladies might get a word, and so we'd speak it out, and we'd begin praying from there. So we began plowing that land so that he could be planted again and be made whole and come to the place where he could give out in good measure like he always wanted to do. And so that's when I met him as a 6'4" tall galoot. He was my brother, and never saw him in any other way. Never, ever wanted to be married again. I had this ring that I wear here, the first one, bought and got married to Jesus, and that's where I was going to stay. I saw the nuns wear them. I can wear it too, you know, and it kept a lot of things away from me too because they would see the wedding band.
Yeah.
But I was married to Jesus, and that's all I wanted was to be with the Lord. So that was my stand. My mindset was just to serve God. And his was the same way. So for 3 years, we ministered that way and didn't even realize what God was doing in our lives.
I'll tell you a funny one here, Peter. I was praying to be a Paul, but because I couldn't see my sons at that time, I would literally cry. I went into a season of grieving. And I would no sooner get the tear stop than one of my boys would call me, and I'd make it through the conversation, and I'd begin to cry again. And I said, Lord, please take this loneliness away from me. Make me like a Paul. And I had a dream that night, and in my dream, I saw a huge bottle, and that bottle was about 4'11", and it was filled with pink, and I knew, he told me, get over it. I knew he was going to bring a woman into my life. And see, Lynn and I had ministered for 3 or 4 years, and literally, I had no idea who she was, you know, as a woman, because she was a co-worker in Christ. She never wore a dress or anything like that, and the Lord opened my eyes to her and actually told me he was bringing his intended in. So it was an amazing adventure.
It's interesting how the Lord has helped you along the way with dreams. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met other people like that. It doesn't happen to me very often, you know, but clearly it's more a part of your life, and it's been pretty significant guide for you at different times. You know, like the Lord gives you, I think the best way to say it is like sneak previews of coming attractions, you know,
crying out
to him, and he just shows you a little glimpse of something, mm-hmm. you know, and then it happens. So back to Father Marty in terms of the discussion, Lynn, for you, was the Catholic Church and any doctrines or things the church believes, were any of those things obstacles for you or no?
The sluggishness of what could take place for God after you've been put on fire by the Holy Spirit was just very hard for me. And so
what you mean by that is like sometimes you go into parishes and there's hardly anybody in the church on Sunday and it can seem very flat spiritually and it's in need of some kind of reviving.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No problem.
I had trouble breathing. I would go into a church and I would have trouble breathing. And it wasn't the priest as much as it was the people and how they treated them. You see, I had always known the Father's love, and I'm going to go back because this is the root that kept me in the church. I was born a premature baby. They nearly lost me at 2 weeks, and they thought I was going to die. And when I came out of that bout, Dad said, it's time to get her baptized. And I was baptized on my father's birthday. I don't know how many people get to do that, but oh, so special. And I was this wimpy little girl and needed Daddy around, and Daddy was around. So I knew what the Father's love was. So when I would see a priest that was being abused and not looked upon as the Father's love for us representative, it would irritate me. And my Italian would get up and I'd just get irritated. I was in judgment. And so that's when I would begin going to different faith churches that were moving in the Holy Spirit. And I began to grow inside in the Holy Spirit. And I landed in this church because of my 12-year-old. I was on a business trip, and he went to this church with a friend, and he says, "Mom, you got to check this church out." So when a 12-year-old who doesn't want to go to church tells you, "You better check this church out," you go and you find out the Holy Spirit's there. And that's where I began an advanced movement in understanding what was taking place. And I began at that time praying for priests. The Lord put it on my heart to begin praying for priests instead of being technically upset with what was going on and not thinking they were handling things right, when in fact it was the Spirit that was coming in on them and the church needed renewed.
Yeah.
And so I began a mission for praying for priests, and that developed a relationship.
So you just always had it in your heart, and then the Lord brings you back.
Yes.
To the Catholic Church, brings you home. You're talking about home, home, home. He brings you home.
He brings me home.
And brings you back. And so for neither one of you, there wasn't much doctrinal question. It was just, you just felt totally confirmed. This is clearly where the Lord wants us. This is where we're supposed to be.
Well, for me, I knew it was what God was wanting for my life, because he told me he was going to take me someplace where I didn't want to go. So the flesh and Dan didn't want to be in the Catholic Church, because I had visited like St. Stanislaus, where they didn't even welcome me, where they rejected the babies. And the opposite extreme was Father Marty. So I left the sterile and got to a place of life. I had people tell me, said, "Dan, you can believe anything and be a Catholic." And I thought, "Help me, Jesus." And then when they took me through RCIA and they started talking about the gospel and talking about the doctrine, I saw it was the same thing that I already believed. And so my belief system fit right into the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of things had died to me anyway. I just felt it was a place of service and felt it was a place of warmth. It was an answer to prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. And so did you didn't have to go through RCA, though, or did you?
No, I didn't. I was a cradle Catholic, raised by a dad that was a convert to Catholicism. He was more on fire than my mom was. And so I was raised up in the Catholic Church. But my rebellion was leaving to go to other places to get what I needed and then come back in on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And that created an unsettledness in me. And I was like, why can't we be doing this? I mean, I was a John the 23rd girl. You know, and I was so excited that all this was taking place between the churches, but I never saw it happening. So I was wondering what the deal was. So they would call me the little bridge walker, because I would go there and I'd come back in and I would share what was happening. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it's been.
Yeah. So John the 23rd, you mean St. John the 23rd, who was, so when you were young,
Vatican II.
Vatican II happened.
Yes, I was in high school.
So, yeah. And that was like right after that is when a lot of confusion about what Vatican II was actually doing.
That's right.
Kind of hit the church. There was a lot of confusion about it. But
nobody knew what actually to do or how to be, you know. Yeah. So it was a growing time for us.
And John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI really helped sort of bring back clarity about what was the Second Vatican Council all about and what was the grace there and what was the Lord leading. So time is, we're almost out. So we've got one more day. Can we be back one more time?
Yes, one more time.
Great, friend. So good to have you here. Friends, God's got a plan for your life as well. He wants to lead you right into his purpose because he knows you, he made you, and he loves you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.